Hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Stephanie Domingo.
And Tex Lurzel over here.
We be drinking and we be swearing.
We sure fucking do.
We come to you from Bushwick, Brooklyn, where we record on land belonging to the Lenape Nation, a nation that is one of many still very much out here doing its thing, and we like to acknowledge that. This is a show about whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
It's about whatever.
Period. Today, it's going to be about Halloween.
Ooh.
Halloween.
Ooh.
Yes.
You should have been like, today it's going to be about Halloween. Spooky. Yeah. Okay, we need to.
Enough of that.
I need to stop.
Today I'm going to be talking a little bit about the history of sort of modern Halloween, like how we celebrate today and how we got to what Halloween means to Americans.
Okay.
In 2021. So the history of Halloween is sort of long and twisty. And originally the origins are pagan. They come from pagan traditions that were around before Christianity was ever invented. But a lot of things were added on between then and today. The modern jack-o'-lantern, for example.
Oh.
The jack-o'-lantern comes originally from an Irish folktale about a drunken con man named Stingy Jack who couldn't get into heaven. So he remained on earth to haunt people and scare people. So people used to make these lanterns out of turnips. They would carve a face into it, hollow it out, and put a candle inside, and they would like carry them around to protect them from Jack's spirit.
Okay.
So it was a jack-o'-lantern.
Oh,
to keep Jack away.
Oh, wow.
But they were, yeah, the original jack-o'-lanterns were carved out of turnips, not pumpkins.
Okay.
We'll put a picture in the show notes.
Yeah.
They're really funny looking.
I like that.
They're super tiny little. And like people would like, the picture that I have seen, the one that I'm thinking of, they had like a little wire attached so you could like carry it really easily.
Oh.
Yeah.
And where would you carry this jack-o'-lantern to?
I read something about in the bogs, there was some kind of like gas that would come out that would glow, and people thought that that was Jack's spirit.
Okay.
So they would carry these lanterns to keep him away, but it was like out in the, you know,
and
the boonies.
They would carry them all year round?
Just at like Halloween time.
Oh, Halloween time. Got it. Okay.
Because it was like All Hallows Eve, was like when the spirits came to get you.
They came to get you, but you were still out on the street ready to be
yeah.
gotten?
As long as you had your jack-o'-lantern.
Okay.
When Puritans came to North America, they were too cool to celebrate Christian holidays. They did not like anything sort of celebratory when it came to religious holidays, but they did celebrate Guy Fawkes Day. Guy Fawkes Day is sort of a day celebrating a struggle for religious freedom. There was the gunpowder plot where they were trying to blow up the House of Lords to kill King James.
That was the
something 5th of November.
November. Yeah.
But so they were trying to kill King James. They were unsuccessful. He was not killed. Mm. But Guy Fawkes was put on trial and I believe he was hanged.
Yeah.
And sort of became a folk hero in England because of this, because he tried
he
at
tried
least.
It.
So people still celebrate Guy Fawkes Day in England to this day, but the Puritans were celebrating it here. Over the years, we stopped celebrating it here, but somehow the traditions of like mischief and vandalism that went along with Guy Fawkes Day just got sort of pushed a few days earlier and tacked onto Halloween instead in America. And because of that, vandalism used to be a really large part of what Halloween was in America for a very long time.
We've lost our way.
Yeah. That is because of the founder of a ladies' garden club in Hiawatha, Kansas, helped us lose our way. But before we get into her, I just want to say, like, things were really bad. Like, people, well, especially kids, were, like, doing the most on Halloween. From the 1890s to the early 1910s, in Kansas specifically, I mean, this wasn't just a Kansas thing, but because she was from Kansas, I was looking at the history of the vandalism on Halloween. Kansas newspapers were filled with these stories of all the like tricks and the mischief that these shitty little white kids were getting into on Halloween, which they called Mischief Night.
Oh,
they would, yeah.
Okay.
They would wear masks and disguises and run around town wrecking up the joint, just breaking shit. One newspaper in southeast Kansas reported considerable damage on Halloween 1897, writing, "The sewer pipe was rolled into the big ditch and some of it broken. Thomas's wagon was broken, gates were taken off, and in some instances lost. Outhouses thrown over and broken up, and in some places the sidewalks were torn up." So these kids were doing the most.
Wait, not the wagon?
But like turning over outhouses and ripping up the sidewalk?
Okay, that's, yeah, Ripping up the sidewalk is an endeavor.
Yes. In 1899, the police chief in Wichita, Kansas, threatened to put children in jail.
What?
If their pranks were too destructive. Wow. Chief Cubbin has issued an order that all boys, large or small, caught molesting property will be punished by fine and maybe by imprisonment.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
And reports show that
I'm just picturing Bart Simpson.
I know, totally. Nobody suspects the butterfly. But reports say that year that he threatened jail, there was a dramatic decrease in vandalism that year, but there was also heavy police surveillance that year, so okay, that has much more to do with it.
Yeah, definitely.
But before we get back to that white lady in her garden, let's take a little break.
Yeah.
Go get ourselves a drink. Have a wee.
Yes.
Hey, this is Brandon from Peculiar Picture Show, the podcast that talks about movies, maladies, and mental health.
And this is Maria, also from that podcast.
So we were wondering, do you like movies? Do you like mental health?
Oh boy, do I ever, Brandon.
Well then, I've got a podcast for you. Peculiar Picture Show is the podcast for you because it is about movies and mental health.
That's right. We use movies to talk about mental health issues like borderline personality disorder, social issues like systemic racism, and other things.
Like how bad Shakespeare in Love was.
Yeah, sometimes we just talk about how bad the movie is.
And we really talked about that one. But sometimes we have games. Maria used to be a teacher, and so she loves to quiz people.
I really do.
So check us out online at peculiarpicture.show. That's our website, and you can stream all episodes there.
Or you can find us on any major podcast channel.
All right, so we're back in Hiawatha, Kansas. Mrs. Elizabeth Krebs was known for her prize-winning garden. She founded the Ladies Garden Club in Hiawatha, Kansas. And in 1912, a bunch of asshole teenagers went in and, like, totally destroyed her garden on Halloween night, on Mischief Night. They stomped on all the flowers, ripped things up, and broke up her fence and just destroyed shit. So she decided she was going to take matters into her own hands the following year. But rather than threaten to send these kids to jail, like that police chief, she decided the next year she was going to throw a party for these kids. She was hoping that if they were kept really well occupied, they wouldn't have the time or the energy to trample her garden and wreck up the town.
Okay.
Her neighbors thought that this idea was incredibly foolish. Like, why would you reward children for being shitty little punks?
Yeah.
But in 1913, the Hiawatha Daily World wrote that that year's Halloween was, quote, the most sane Halloween that Hiawatha has had in many a year. Outside of the one dangerous act of filling up an old delivery wagon with inflammable material, setting it on fire and hauling it along the streets, there was no outrageous acts perpetrated, no pyramids of old vehicles and buildings in the streets or on the corners.
Okay.
So they still did some stuff, but yeah, not as bad.
They didn't go ham.
Yeah. Unfortunately for Mrs. Krebs, who used her own money to throw this party, they did wreck up her garden again that year after the party was over.
Uh-oh.
But she was not deterred. She thought, you know, there's all these reports that the damage was much better this year, like less extreme than it had been in years before. So she was like, maybe we just need to do it even bigger and get more kids involved and that will improve things. So she went to the town leaders and was like, hey, look at the newspaper reports. Halloween was not even half as bad as it has been in the years before. So, like, help me out. Get involved in this. Let's throw, like, the biggest and best party possible. And maybe that'll do the trick. And next year, the kids won't be such little assholes. And it worked.
Did it?
In 1914, Hiawatha, Kansas threw the first annual Halloween frolic. There was a band, decorations, refreshments, and a costume parade. Local business owners got together and offered up cash prizes for a costume contest. And the next day, the newspaper reported there was no destroying of property and the marshals had the lonesomest Halloween they have ever had.
The lonesomest?
Those poor policemen just sitting there by themselves twiddling their thumbs. Like, it's supposed to be mischief night.
Yeah, I wanted to hurt some children.
So this frolic was so successful that they decided to keep doing it every year. They threw the annual Halloween frolic. And soon nearby towns started copying the idea.
Okay.
And it kind of spread out from there. They wanted to stop this vandalism women violence on Mischief Night in their own town, so they copied the idea. And over the years, the idea of giving treats to avoid tricks just sort of became part of what Halloween is.
Oh, okay.
And one of the most successful ideas was the costume contest and the costume party. By the 1920s, costume parties were super common across the country. Schools, social clubs, fraternal lodges, and church groups all threw Halloween party for children. And spooky decorations, parades, games, music, dancing, and refreshments like sweet cider and donuts sort of just became synonymous with Halloween and how we celebrate Halloween.
Okay.
Hiawatha, Kansas still throws the Halloween frolic to this day.
Wow.
And Mrs. Krebs is sometimes referred to as the mother of modern Halloween. I do want to point out, though, that the practice of trick-or-treating did not come from this. That's a sort of a separate thing. I looked into where trick-or-treating comes from, the idea of sort of going door-to-door, asking for candy. No one seems to agree how that tradition came to be in the U.S. and why it got so popular in the U.S., but it looks like it may have been an import from Canada.
Oh, okay.
The first time the phrase trick-or-treat was ever appeared in print was in 1927 in a newspaper article from Alberta, Canada, in a story about children going door-to-door. The children were given candy, and the homeowners and their property were left in peace, and that nothing was destroyed.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I did not know any of that.
Yes.
Wow, that was great.
A little tiny slice of Halloween history.
Thanks, Canada.
Canada,
we got an import from our friends up north. Our drinks are empty, so I guess emptying.
We're doing our job over
here. We're in the process. Leave us alone. Get off our backs.
It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it.
It was a short episode. Give us a break. Thank you so much for listening to Beyond Reproach. This has been Stephanie Domingo.
And Tex Lerzel.
Thank you to Tim Clough, our editor, sound engineer, podfather. We could not do this without him.
It would be eerie if we tried.
Yes.
Ooh.
I'm going to let you have that. All right, bye everyone.
Goodbye.
Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn, on land belonging to the Lenape Nation. Please note we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. Full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone who you think would be into it. Make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop on beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We have exclusive content on Patreon where you can directly support the production of our show.